Governor Evers gave his first budget address last night. He outlined some of his administration's biggest policy goals for the next 2 years, and there was a lot of new ground covered. Among the most notable was a nonpartisan redistricting plan and an increase in the gas tax that Evers says he can offset with other changes. Jonah Ralston is an assistant professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. Jonah, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Great to be with you.
Well, this covers a lot of ground, as Wisconsin state budgets typically do. Big picture, what's your reaction to what we heard from the governor last night?
Definitely. There were a number of major policy initiatives, particularly related to things like transportation, education, redistricting reform, and health care. Of course, a lot of these were not received very well by Republicans, and so a lot remains to be seen as to what actually will end up in the budget.
Now, Evers had gotten off to a rocky start before he took office after some lame duck bills passed in December of last year. He nodded to that last night. Here's a listen.
At times, we've succumbed to the trivial pursuit of political outposturing. At times, we let partisanship cloud the opportunity for compromise, and at times, we let power be the enemy of the good. So tonight, I want to be clear, this can't be one of those times. We cannot afford to play politics with this budget.
And the governor played some video of what he and his then running mate had done going around the state trying to form a people's budget. He shared ideas from people in different districts, including some Republican districts. He nodded toward bipartisanship. Do you think that any of that was successful, that there was any successful reaching across the aisles there?
Well, I think a telling moment was early on, actually, in the address when, after that video you mentioned, he said that, you know, if Wisconsinites can come to a room armed with these different ideas, listen to each other, compromise on solutions, we should be able to do that in this building, too. And interestingly, what happened is that the Democrats began clapping, and then they stood and continued applauding that comment, but the Republicans remained silent in the chamber. I think that is pretty much an indication of how they feel about compromise on this budget.
Now, a couple of the big items, and you touched on these, are not exactly budget items, which is a controversy all its own. But let's look at a couple now. The idea of nonpartisan redistricting in the state. This has been an argument for a while that instead of having lawmakers, in effect, draw the maps that determine who votes in which district, we should do another system maybe based on Iowa. What do we know about what the governor is calling for in this budget proposal?
There's been a growing movement in a number of states, actually, to move away from this. So, for example, some states like Michigan and Ohio more recently reformed their particular ways that they draw these legislative maps. Democrats won over 50% of the votes in the most recent election in 2018, but they only have about one-third of the seats in the Assembly. So it is clear that the Republican-drawn maps after the 2010 census have certainly heavily favored the Republican Party. But they've benefited from the existing partisan system, so I'm not sure how much interest Republicans will have in reforming it, even though we know there's strong public support for that reform. It's going to be difficult to draw fully representative maps, even if you move to an entirely nonpartisan method. Because in Wisconsin, you know, I think it's about a third of the Democratic vote in the state is actually concentrated in Madison and Milwaukee, which presents a lot of challenges for drawing districts then, because Republican voters tend to be more dispersed throughout the state.
One maybe incentive is that now they don't have a Republican governor who's going to sign whatever map they hand over. So there's some input this time from Democrats. Could that be an incentive to say, okay, maybe now this is the time, since there's divided control, we can do this alternate redistricting system?
I think that's a fair point. And in fact, that may be something that could actually tilt this in the favor of reform happening, is that indeed the governor does have a significant role in this. And if there's a stalemate, it'll end up in the courts, which has actually happened a number of times in Wisconsin. And so maybe to stave that off, they would actually consider implementing some kind of nonpartisan reform.
Another not really fiscal item exactly. The governor talked about automatic voter registration. Automatically, you'd have to opt out, basically, of registering to vote when you did things like get a driver's license. Is that something that would fly with both parties in the legislature?
Well, we do know that in regard to that particular initiative, that when you have people opt out instead of opting in, it certainly does increase participation rates. And so this would make voting easier in the state. With the recent changes in voting, where it was actually made more restrictive, my guess is that Republicans would be potentially open to something related to this. But then again, the past record shows that, in fact, they've had no problems restricting voting qualifications either.
Talking to Jonah Ralston from UW-Whitewater, assistant professor of political science there, looking at Governor Evers' budget address last night. All right, let's get to some of the dollars and cents stuff. Evers plans to raise the gas tax to help pay for road construction and maintenance. This is a long-running point of contention in Wisconsin. Here's a little bit of his explanation for why he wants to do this.
Now, I want to be clear. Everyone's going to have to give a little to make this work. That's compromise. That's what it's called. We're all going to have to share the burden so that it's feasible for everyone and to make sure that we're not passing the buck on to the next generation.
All right, Governor Evers says raise the gas tax 8 cents a gallon, index it to inflation like we used to, but repeal what he called a hidden tax. This is something that Republicans have wanted to do in the past, this mandatory minimum markup law, a little complicated. Can you talk about this plan?
Sure. Yes. As you mentioned, we have indexed to inflation before. That practice ended under Governor Doyle in 2005. But prior to that, we had it in place for two decades. So this is not unprecedented. And it makes it easier for the tax to just raise with inflation than it is for politicians to have to take politically risky votes. In regards to that minimum markup law, what's interesting about that is, I mean, that's a particularly old law. It goes back to the origins of that, go back to the Great Depression. And really what they were meant to do is prevent retailers from selling goods at the low costs, with the idea being that it would spur local business. But analysis of states that have these laws haven't really found that they're meeting their policy goals. So, yeah, this is a potential area where the two parties can come to agreement. There's certainly more receptiveness to this idea in the Assembly than the Senate, though.
And this has been a problem even among Republicans when they had control of both chambers and the governor's office, and in polling, too. A lot of people in Wisconsin favor doing something to boost road maintenance and construction in Wisconsin. But when you ask about any particular change, gas tax increases, user fees, and so on, you don't get that much support. This is a tough issue to tackle.
Yes, I agree. In fact, of all the different issues that Governor Evers addressed in the budget, most of them had fairly good support amongst the public. But you're right, this is the one that actually showed the least amount of support in the public, because it's a tax, and he was also proposing fee increases, and those are never easy for a politician to implement.
A couple of GOP bills would be repealed under this budget. Some of the lame duck legislation and what's called by Republicans right to work laws affecting union membership. Those don't seem things that Republicans in the legislature would vote on in any case, right?
I agree. Yes, it seems highly unlikely that Republicans would be willing to reverse the changes they made to executive authority or some of the changes they made under Governor Walker. I mean, some of these were some of their keystone policies, and there's really no incentive for them to undo those either.
Now, one of Governor Evers' biggest campaign promises was having Wisconsin accept federal aid to expand Badger Care under the Medicaid program. That's been a controversial issue. Governor Walker took a different path in most states when it came to that. Talk about what that would involve and whether it's likely to pass.
Right. So what this would do is actually expand the program in the state. So the number of low-income individuals who are covered would actually increase by several thousand. And by the infusion of federal money, it would actually save the state millions of dollars each year, so there are likely to be economic and social benefits. But the Republicans and legislature have been ideologically opposed to it. Many continue to support the legal challenges to the Affordable Care Act. There has been some receptiveness in the Senate to the idea, but there's strong resistance in the Assembly. And so at the moment, it seems unlikely to pass, even though this is something that would be generally supported by voters.
Talking to Jonah Ralston of UW-Whitewater about Governor Evers' first budget address last night. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What did you think of what the governor had to say, what he's calling for? Did you hear Evers lay out spending priorities that you agree with? Did you hear some ideas that you disagreed with? What do you think of the idea of taking this federal money to expand Badger Care? What do you think of the idea of increasing the gas tax, getting rid of this other law, the minimum markup law? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We continue our conversation about Governor Evers' budget address last night. Jonah Ralston is with us from UW-Whitewater. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about a potential increase in the state's gas tax? How about the governor's plan to expand Badger Care, change the way we draw our voting maps in Wisconsin? What do you think could pass in the Republican legislature? Do you want to see both sides compromise or stick to their principles and their goals in budget negotiations? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. As we've been mentioning, Jonah, a lot of negative Republican response, I think it's fair to say, to what the governor said last night. Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald called this, quote, a 1,000-page press release, not a budget. Here's Assembly Speaker Robin Voss.
This is a budget that's based on somebody who spent too much time in Madison. That's the problem. They have spent time in a liberal bubble thinking that this is what the people of Wisconsin want. It isn't.
Is this a liberal budget, Jonah?
Well, it certainly does have some hallmarks in the sense of increasing spending. There are some tax increases on wealthier individuals and, you know, expansion of social programs. And so I think what is likely to happen is we're going to see a potentially contentious budget process here. I'm not optimistic, in fact, that this budget is in place by July 1st when it needs to be.
And Governor Evers' strategy seems to be, and I think he's said this in the past, he wants to go to the people. He has highlighted, again, showing that video last night, talking to people in different districts around the state outside of the Madison bubble. Speaker Voss was talking about there, in effect, saying, hey, Republicans, I'm going to reach out to your voters on issues that I think they disagree or that they agree with me on to provide pressure. Is there any chance that that might actually be effective?
Well, certainly he has made attempts at overtures like that, and there are a number of things in here that are popular generally with the public. So, for example, medical marijuana was one of the things that Evers had mentioned in the budget. That has strong support amongst the public. So, I think he's, you know, picked a lot of issues that, in fact, a number of voters would actually be in favor of. But I'm not sure how advantageous it is for Republicans to compromise, because the last budget that was proposed and approved by Scott Walker is, in fact, the one we would be operating under if they miss that July 1st deadline. So there's not a lot of pressure for them to, make any kind of significant deals, because they would, in fact, just be operating under the budget they would prefer.
Right. That's an important point. We are not the federal government here. We don't have shutdowns if a budget deal isn't reached on schedule.
That's right. Yeah, in Wisconsin. Now, that is actually a bit different than Illinois or Minnesota, but because of how we have our laws in place and the structure for budgeting, we would, in fact, just continue under the previous appropriations.
Let's go to our callers now. David is with us in Oshkosh. David, hello.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question/comment about the automatic voter registration. Minutes before Governor Evers had brought that point up, he had mentioned giving driver's license to undocumented people living in Wisconsin. Now, does that mean that undocumented immigrants are going to be allowed to vote in Wisconsin? And if so, I feel like that's an automatic deal breaker on the Republican end.
David, thanks for the call. And David brings up another issue that the governor had raised, allowing some undocumented people working in Wisconsin to get driver's licenses. Do we have that level of precision of like, okay, if we're giving driver's licenses to people who can't by law vote, how do we make sure they don't end up with licenses that would allow them to somehow vote?
Right, yeah. So this would be a different license. It would be indicated in some way. Because when they go to vote, you have to be a citizen to vote, right? You have to have a registered address. So even people who are here on a visa, you know, they can't vote. And we already have procedures in place to ensure that that happens. So, they would not be able to register to vote. So there would have to be some kind of mechanism in place for that. It's a good point, though, and something that you would want to make sure to address in the policy.
David, thanks for the call. We're going out to Richard with us in Cambridge. Richard, hi.
How you doing?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
Well, it's interesting. I got on the phone to bring this up just as you were talking about Mr. Evers wanting to reach out more to the public and get a firmer grasp on public opinion and hopefully have that work for him and us. And my thought was, can't we get some of these issues on a referendum, even if it's not a binding referendum, which would be maybe nice in some cases, but things like the marijuana and some of the other powers that the governor lost, and just let the Republicans know, I'm hoping, I guess, that even Republicans don't like the way things have been going. It's not strictly economic. And so my question is, what about getting referendums on the ballot?
Richard, thanks a lot for the call. Interesting point. Jonah, we don't have, like many states do, we don't have binding referenda except on as part of the constitutional amendment process. What about advisory referenda, though?
Yes, this has been used before. And in fact, marijuana was something that was placed in a few different counties to garner, you know, some indication as to what voters want. But that's about as far as it goes. And so I'm not sure how much they influence politicians. Certainly the initiative process, like Michigan has, is something by which citizens are able to actually implement policy, which they have done for recreational marijuana, for example, and minimum wage increases. But I'm not sure that these advisory ones would really be too influential in our state.
Thanks for the call, Richard. We're talking to Jonah Ralston from UW-Whitewater, looking at Governor Evers' budget proposal and the Republican response. Back to your calls. Susan is with us in Brookfield. Susan, hello.
Hi. No questions, just a comment. I know I live in what is considered a very conservative part of the state. I totally support what Governor Evers is attempting to present. We're going to have to make a lot of changes to make up for the loss.
Susan, thanks a lot for the call. And it's a reminder, even when we think of the conservative districts in the county surrounding Milwaukee or liberal districts in places like Madison and Milwaukee itself, there is still a variety of voters. It's never universal, Jonah.
Yeah, that's correct. And I think she brings up a good point. There are some consensus issues that I think you will find in this budget. For example, education. I doubt there will be many people who say we shouldn't increase it. There will be disagreement about the amount. But I think most people would agree that we would want to see additional funding in that area.
Thanks for that call. Mark joins us next in Three Lakes. Mark, hello.
Good evening. Thank you for taking my call. I would like to know what seniors are supposed to do about the $15 an hour wage. I started working, when I was a teenager at $1.65 an hour. Saved my money, and now it doesn't go as far as it's supposed to. What am I supposed to do?
Mark, thanks for the call. I'm not sure exactly where Mark's going, but Governor Evers did propose a minimum wage increase, not to the full 15 off the bat. He, I think it would ladder up to 10 something, Jonah?
Yeah, the idea there is a smaller increase and to kind of phase it in over time. I think what the reasoning was on that is that in Minnesota, they did a pretty substantial increase in a short time period. And what they saw was that, you know, there were higher wages in some of those low-paying service jobs, like the restaurant industry. But it also did to lead to businesses decreasing some employment. And some of those costs were passed on to consumers in the form of higher prices. So I think the idea here with Evers is to raise it slowly because we know that the minimum wage has lost value over time, the federal minimum wage, that is, which our state is pegged at. And so the idea is to, you know, try to get more purchasing power for folks that make that wage.
Jonah, that's all the time we have. A lot more we'll be talking about in the weeks to come. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Jonah Ralston, Assistant Professor of Political Science at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. He was with us to talk about Governor Evers' first budget address last night and what comes next as the legislature begins their work on the budget. We'll be breaking down some of those issues on Central Time in the Morning Show in the weeks to come as the negotiations go on. We're looking to talk about that idea of Medicaid expansion, Badger Care expansion with federal funding here in Wisconsin, I think as soon as Monday. Also coming up Monday on Central Time, the state is overhauling the youth prison system. The state of New York has been through the process. Our guest shares some lessons from that experience that could help here in Wisconsin. There are lots of ways to book vacations, from travel agents to web services to direct booking options. Which one works best? A travel writer put them to the test and will get the results. And there have been some high-profile free agent signings in Major League Baseball lately, but a strike could be on the horizon in the seasons to come. We'll check out the future of baseball. That and more coming up Monday here on Central Time.